share with you just a few things that come from the Word of God, and we're turning for the short time we have, and it won't be a long time, for I know it's been a long day for some of you. But I want to share with you from Psalm 50, the 50th Psalm. Now here is a psalm that is broken basically into three sections. The first section from verse 1 through to verse 6. The second section from 7 all the way through until you get to the end of verse 15. And then the latter and last part, 16 to the end, which is 23. We're going to address our attention and time in this hour to just looking at this beautiful portion that comes in the middle piece. Please take up the reading with me as we look at verse 10. Every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. Look at those words and you'll very quickly discover or perhaps rediscover some enormous and beautiful teaching. First of all, listen to God as he says, the cattle upon a thousand hills are mine, every beast of the forest is mine. If you'll come and just look at the little rodent, to the squirrel that climbs and jumps from tree to tree, if you'll see that to the massive grizzly bear, to the small deer and fawn that runs in the field, to the cattle on the thousand hills. This afternoon, as we were driving back from lunch, a cow had just given birth, just minutes before we arrived, maybe 1 minute before we arrived. The cow had given birth to a darling little creature, the sweetest little calf you've seen. And the mama cow was looking after the calf, and the calf was laying on the ground. And it reminded me that our Father has said, all these cattle, though they be scattered on a thousand hills, they are mine. So says God, are all the fowls of the mountain and the wild beasts of the field are mine. There are many wild beasts. You can imagine the small whistling marmots that you'll discover a great deal around Lake Louise in Alberta, Canada. Funny little creatures and full of fun. Once I thought I'd spend the night in the open air, just north of Lake Louise in a place called O'Hare Lake. And there I thought I'd go to sleep. Most curious thing, there were these whistling marmots. And they would whistle to one another, and they thought I was the funniest thing that they had discovered. I laid out my sleeping bag. Before I could get in, several of them had gotten in. So I emptied them out. And they thought that was great fun. And it took about an hour of emptying out these whistling marmots to see who could get in there first, them or me. And it couldn't be me unless I went in head first. I had a lot of trouble. But I discovered I had two or three paper bags, paper sacks, you would call them, with me. And I opened these. And I put some banana and orange peelings in the bottom of them, and I stood them up. And these little characters, they would jump in to get the peelings. Then I would quickly wrap up the top of the bag and run with them and put them on a rock and run back and hope to get in my sleeping bag, but they beat me every time. What characters! And then I had to remind the Lord, if I'm to sleep tonight, Lord, you must remember, the wild beasts of the field are yours. Please do something. Now says God, listen, all of these are mine. The grizzly bear is mine. The polar bear is mine. The lion, the tiger, they are mine. all the various animals that are wild are mine. From the giraffe to the rhinoceros, they are all mine. They're all mine. Now, if I were hungry, I wouldn't ask you. And if I were thirsty, I wouldn't be inquiring how to quench my thirst. So instead, understand that you must come to me, says God. And we're down to verse 14. Offer God thanksgiving. Offer God thanksgiving. And pay thy vows unto the Most High. Now offer God thanksgiving. Did you thank him at Thanksgiving Day for all that he had done? Or did you just get sort of caught up as we saw different advertisements as we were traveling to and from our family? We saw a happy Turkey Day. Somebody's going to send somebody a card one of these days and say, happy turkey. We're going to abbreviate it. We're going to forget what happy Thanksgiving is all about, what Thanksgiving is all about. Let's be very careful and understand that God calls us to be giving thanksgiving to him. When did you last thank him for what you are, how you are, where you are? When did you last thank him for all you have and all you have dispersed? A friend of ours we stopped to visit in Portland on the way as we were coming home. And as we stopped, this particular family are very, very generous. They're not very rich, and I suppose that's part of the reason why they're very generous, and because of their generosity, maybe they're not very rich. But when we got there, immediately, because she knows how to make English tea, she said, have a cup of tea. And the kettle was on immediately. I hope that makes sense to Americans. That's the thing you cook the water up in before you put it into the teapot. It's got a spout on it, and a lid, and a handle. And it's round or square, oblongs. It could be that big, but it's a kettle. And it was on, and she was going to make us tea. And then she remembered and said, oh, you know, I really don't even have a cookie in the house. And I thought, Thanksgiving? And here she is, she doesn't even have a cookie in the house. But they didn't have a cookie in the house. Not a cookie. Curious, isn't it? They had nothing. But they gave thanks to God. And they thanked God for the thanksgiving that they were giving. And they thanked God for everything that God had done for them. And they thanked God for who he was and who he is and how he is. And they sang and they glorified God in their playing, in their singing, and in their prayers and in their reading. And I think perhaps some of their thanksgiving was a little more holy than some of us. For they had not even a cookie in the house. It's kind of interesting, but that's their ministry. And theirs is a different ministry to many of us, but they live, quote and unquote, by faith. Unfortunately, most Christians retranslate living by faith, living on faith. And that means that those people that live on faith live on air pie and windy pudding. There's nothing very substantial about it. But let me come to this next and beautiful verse, verse 15. Listen to the Father as he speaks quite clearly. He says, call upon me in the day of trouble. He doesn't say there won't be any trouble. And to those of you, dear people, that have just been baptized, and those of you who have recently received the Lord Jesus as your own Savior and Lord, let me share this with you in a most loving manner. There is absolutely no guarantee that from this day on, your life is going to be easy. There is every possibility it's going to be filled with trouble. And God says, call upon me. Call upon me. Speak to me in the day of trouble. Just talk to me. It's curious. He starts off and say, look, I own all of this. I have made all of it, all the world, all the universe, all creation. It's all been done by me. If I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you. I have nothing to ask you for. I can do what I like. It's all mine. If I was thirsty, I wouldn't come and tell you, because I can quench my thirst at any time I want. All of this is mine. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I don't have to ask you anything, but I will tell you this, when you're in trouble, you come and talk to me. Here's a curious and interesting thing. If we get hurt money-wise, we always know somebody who's got some money, and we'll go to that somebody and say, do you think that I could borrow some money? Or if we have a little disease or something not right with our little bodies, we go to someone who we know is a nurse or an LPN or even a doctor, and we'll sidle up and say, do you have anything for arthritis in the little toe of the right foot? And they'll help us. We go to people and we ask favors. But do we talk to God in the time of trouble? He says, come, talk to me, call upon me in the day of trouble. Why should I? Well, the rest of the verse tells us why we should. He says, I will deliver thee. I will deliver thee. How wonderful. My trouble won't be necessarily done away with. My trouble will not be extinguished. My trouble will not necessarily evaporate, but I shall have help, God's help, and He will deliver me. Daniel, standing in the lion's den, and please remember that very likely Daniel was in round about 80 years old when he was put in the lion's den. Very often the artists have shown us that Daniel was a young man when he went to the lion's den. But I think perhaps in rereading the life of Daniel, we would discover that he was getting on in years. And at about 80 years old, he's standing in the lion's den, and God did not deliver him out of the lion's den. He left him in there all night. It was in the morning that God caused the king to come and caused the king to look down and say, Daniel, did your God deliver you? And then it was Daniel that said, yes, my God did deliver me. But all night long, the lions had walked around with their mouths shut. All night long, they'd walked around, and perhaps they had licked their lips and smelled this two-legged creature. All night long, they'd purred and leaned against him. And all night long, they'd looked at him and growled at one another. Who was going to be the first to have this juicy morsel? And sometimes we get very frightened when Satan, like the roaring lion, walks around seeking whom he may devour. We get so frightened. Call upon me in the time of trouble. I will deliver thee. I will deliver thee. Why would he do that? The last phrase of verse 15 tells us, and thou shalt glorify me. When you are delivered, that will bring glory to my name. But the process starts when you and I call upon God in the day of our trouble. So let's conclude this way. First, I must admit when I'm in trouble. First, I must admit it. There was a thing on television the other day, and it showed how many teenagers, and the percentage is quite considerable, so I'm told, The percentage is somewhere, according to the statistic that we were listening to on this documentary, in the 80% of teenagers that are in trouble with alcohol. I don't know if any of you get caught up in it. But I do know this, that it's a pretty terrifying experience. And one young lady said, I just went along with everybody else. One said she started to drink at 12. One young man said he started to drink at 10. And so on and on went the discussion. That's the day to call upon God. That's the day. There was a statistic that came out about young people that were involved in all kinds of drugs. The statistic is horrendous. That's the day to call upon God. There is a time when trouble comes upon us, when our families feel as if they're falling apart. That's the time to call upon God. Only we can only call upon God when we admit, I'm in trouble. There's no way I'm going to be delivered from alcoholism until I admit I am either becoming or have become an alcoholic. There is no way I'm going to be delivered from drug abuse until I admit I am surely abusing drugs, or they, in their turn, are abusing me. But I must make that first step and admit, I'm in trouble. There's no way the family is going to be cured. There is no way the family that is falling apart shall be re-glued together. There is no way it's going to come together until the people in the family admit, this family is falling apart. Then, call upon the Lord. Now, I know this formula sounds terribly simple, but it's absolutely workable. Because when you use God's remedy, God guarantees its workability. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee. And because I deliver you, people know your trouble. They knew there was no way out except a small miracle should take place. Ask yourself, do you remember the scripture? God speaking, is there anything too hard for me? Then go before the Father and say, you have said there is nothing too hard for you. Deliver me. I'm calling upon you. And he says, I will deliver you. And that, amongst your neighbors and peers, will glorify me. Teenagers, let me share it with you this way. If you get right and stay right with the Lord Jesus and put him first in your lives, guess what? Your peers will say, how wonderful. Oh, they'll laugh and they'll snicker and they'll make a lot of funny remarks. But they'll say, that's pretty wonderful. But it can't happen until you say, help me, Lord. I'm in trouble. And older people, only when we say, Lord, I'm in trouble, will he deliver us. Let's bow in prayer. Our gracious Father, we thank thee for this day. We thank thee for thy grace and thy strength. We thank thee for the anointing of thy Holy Spirit. We thank thee for thy presence this day. We ask now, thy kingdom come, thy will in our lives be done. And we ask this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.